Please, for our second reading, and that is found in Joshua chapter 18. Joshua chapter 18, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, How long are ye slack to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? Give out from among you 3 men for each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall rise and go through the land and describe it according to the inheritance of them, and they shall come again to me. And they shall divide it into 7 parts. Judah shall abide in their coast on the south, and the house of Joseph shall abide in their coasts on the north. Ye shall therefore describe the land into 7 parts, and bring the description hither to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. But the Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance, and Gad and Reuben and half the tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance beyond Jordan on the east, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them. And the men arose and went away, and Joshua charged them that went to describe the land, saying, Go and walk through the land and describe it, and come again to me, that I may here cast lots for you before the Lord in Shiloh. And the men went and passed through the land and described it by cities into 7 parts in a book, and came again to Joshua, to the host at Shiloh. And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord. And there Joshua divided the land unto the children of Israel according to their divisions. And the lot of the tribe of the children of Benjamin came up according to their families. And the coast of their lot came forth between the children of Judah and the children of Joseph. And their border on the north side was from Jordan. And the border went up to the side of Jericho on the north side, and went up through the mountains westward, and the goings out thereof were at the wilderness of Beth Aven. And the border went over from thence toward Luz, to the side of Luz, which is Bethel, southward, and the border descended to Ataroth Adar, near the hill that lieth on the south side of the nether Beth-horon. And the border was drawn thence and compassed the corner of the sea southward from the hill that lieth before Beth-horon southward. And the goings out thereof were at Kirjath-Baal, which is Kirjath-Jearim, a city of the children of Judah. This was the west quarter. And the south quarter was from the end of Kirjath-Jearim. And the border went out on the west and went out to the well waters of Nephtoah. And the border came down to the end of the mountain that lieth before the valley of the son of Hinnom, and which is the valley of the giants on the north, and descended to the valley of Hinnom to the side of Jebusi on the south, and descended to En Rogel, and was drawn from the north and went forth to En Shemesh, and went forth toward Gelilot, which is over against the going up of Adumim, and descended to the stone of Bohan, the son of Reuben, and passed along toward the side over against Araba northward, and went down unto Araba. And the border passed along to the side of Beth Hogla northward, and the outgoings of the border were at the north bay of the Salt Sea, at the south end of Jordan. This was the south coast. And Jordan was the border of it on the east side. This was the inheritance of the children of Benjamin by the coast thereof round about, according to their families. Now the cities of the tribe of the children of Benjamin, according to their families, were Jericho and Beth Hogla and the valley of Keziz and Beth Araba and Zemariam and Bethel and Avim and Parah and Ophrah and Kephar Ha'amonai and Ophni and Gaba, 12 cities with their villages, Gibeon and Ramah, Beerot and Mizpeh and Kephirah and Mosah and Rechem and Erpeel and Tarala and Zelah and Eleph and Jebusi, which is Jerusalem, Gibeath and Kirjath, 14 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the children of Benjamin according to their families. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so we have a very straightforward timeline here that we're working in the book of Joshua. Remember that after the conquest of the land in chapters 9 and 10, then we have the situation with the Gibeonites. And after the situation with the Gibeonites, then we move ahead to the settling of the inheritances of Judah and of Ephraim, or the children of Joseph, really, Ephraim and Manasseh, and then Reuben and Gad in Transjordania on the east side of the River Jordan. And so now there are seven tribes left. Five tribes have already gone. Seven tribes are left, and these seven tribes have not yet gone in to inherit the inheritance that they were given. So something must be done about that. There are two things that Joshua does. The first thing that he does is he encourages them, right? We might say he strongly encourages them. Why have you not gone up to inherit your inheritance yet? Well, we're not told what their excuse was. We're not told what their answer was. But it may be, and this is conjecture, when I'm conjecturing, I'll tell you that. It may be that they said, we don't really know exactly what it is. And so Joshua says, okay, let's fix that too then. Give me three men out of each of your seven tribes, the others that have received their inheritance and have already gone in and thrown out those who don't belong there anymore. They can stay in their homes. They can stay in their farms. They can stay in their cities. But you seven tribes that have not yet inhabited your tracts of land, you each of you send three men to me, and we will send them on a cartography mission. What is cartography, children? Map making. And so what do? They go out and they describe seven different tracts of land. And Joshua says, you come back here and I will assign them to you by lot. What does it mean when he says, I will assign them to you by lot? Whenever there is not a direct word from the Lord, you here, you there, you there, the men of God that led the people of God for important decisions such as these left them up to the lot. And so the lot was cast for every particular tribe, which of the seven tracts of land that they came back and described were given to. It's an interesting thing to think about, right? So if you knew, say, as three men from this particular tribe, and you wanted that land, what would you do? You'd make it sound the worst. Oh, no, this one's not good. We don't want anybody to go there. If you must, we'll go there. They didn't do any of that. No, what this does is it makes it a completely anonymous system, and so God's providence is what sends them to every tract of land. So you can't maximize it, right, to draw others over there, or you can't minimize it to cause others to flee from it and save the best for yourself. They come back and they describe all seven tracts of land, and then Joshua says, we're going to assign it to you by lot. Right? So that it's a system that is completely dependent upon the providence of God. Same thing was true, if you'll remember, in Acts chapter 1, when we needed that 12th disciple, when Judas had gone to his own place, Peter stands up and said, we will cast lots. And do you remember what they did before they cast those lots? They prayed. And what was the prayer? What did they ask the Lord? They addressed the Lord like this: Thou, Lord, literally, heart knower of all, show us whom thou hast chosen for this office which Judas has forsaken. Interesting, isn't it? They didn't choose that man themselves. God chose that man. They didn't choose the tracts of land themselves. God chose those tracts of land for them. God knew their strengths, their weaknesses, what was best for them spiritually, the challenges that awaited them, whether it be challenges of labor, challenges of enemies, challenges of water, digging wells, challenges of tillage, you know, tilling up the land, gathering out rocks, challenges of beasts, wild animals, whatever it was, God knew. And so God, by his providence, sent them to the best tract of land that each would have. Beloved, the Lord is that same God that rules over us today, sending us to the tract of land and to the place of his habitation that is best for us. Isn't that an amazing encouragement? This is what we see here in Joshua chapter 18. So then, after that, the lot is cast and it comes to Benjamin first. And the description of Benjamin, I would challenge you to get out a map book. I have one that actually has Joshua 18 and 19 in mind, and it will show those borders that are traced out city by city by city, valley by valley by valley, in these next two chapters, 18 and 19. That really does let us know exactly what we're doing here. And so you can watch that. It starts in the northernmost section on the easternmost border, right at the River Jordan, and it proceeds from there to go west toward the Mediterranean Sea, and it's got some undulations and so on. It comes down, and it comes across, and where does it end? It ends at the Dead Sea. And so they were just north of Judah, southernmost in the land, such that later, when the 10 tribes rebel, what do we get? We get Benjamin and Judah in the southern kingdom not rebelling against the Lord, and the northern kingdom devolving into false religion, and finally idolatry, right? Baalism, Baal worship. All right, so we'll not take the time to go over the second part of the chapter where we have all of those cities named, but just know that this adds credibility to the narrative, and there are some men out there that study the Bible from an unbelieving perspective that have doubted its veracity. And beloved, details like this simply add to the veracity of Scripture. They are not enough to convince an unbeliever. That is only done by the ministry of the Spirit of God. Right? We get that. There's no amount of evidence, not even someone rising from the dead, that will convince a sinner. Sinners are convinced by the powerful operation of the Spirit of God upon their consciences. Yet, for us who do have that working of the Spirit of God upon our hearts, passages like this, where all of those city and place names can be traced out on a map, you could go to that land today and walk that border. Well, that simply builds up and adds to our faith that what God has caused to be inspired, recorded, and preserved in Scripture is absolute truth, that every word of God is pure. It is like silver tried in the fire seven times, and he will keep those words from the unbelieving generation forever. Psalm 12. All right, with that then, let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.